Being here with us this morning. I'm glad that you have made that choice to come and to engage in spiritual things. Turn in your Bibles over to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and we'll read some verses together there in a few moments. As Nathan mentioned, we want to think some more this morning about the theme that we have decided to work and labor together with as a congregation this year. And the idea of doing things and living for and operating under the sake of His name, and doing things for the sake of His name. And last week we looked at the idea of what it means to belong to His church and how the wisdom of God is made manifest in the church and what our part in that is. This morning, let's think about one of the different aspects of that as we consider doing things for the sake of His name. And talk about responding to the Lord. And as we remember this idea of living for the sake of His name, in Psalm 23, in the first three verses there, this is one that we know well, many of us have memorized, but recall again what these first three verses show us. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." As you consider that this morning and consider our theme and our idea of what we'll study about together this morning, understand that when we think about the idea of Jesus' calling, it's because He desires our fellowship and to lead us in the right ways. And we follow Him, as we've sang about this morning, we follow Him for the sake of His name. And He leads us because of those things. So, thinking about responding to the Lord, remember that as we study that, one of the things that we had said in our booklet together is that God has profoundly demonstrated His desire to lead us and to guide us for our own good and for the sake of His glorious name. And we want to think together about that this morning and understanding what it means that Jesus is calling and how it is that He calls us. And we'll look at several things that show us that in God's holy word. And we're reminded then in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17 about where we go to find that today. Jesus is not walking among us today as He was back in the times of Galilee and at the times of His apostles. But we find that Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may become competent and equipped for every good work. So let's think together about that as we explore this idea that we find in the New Testament that Jesus calls us in different ways. And throughout the Gospels we see that, and we notice that as Jesus calls different individuals, and there's things that we can learn from it today, that He often did so in ways that stirred their thinking. There are times where He simply said, "Follow me." But many times as He called others, He did so in ways to provoke their thinking about where they were in life or where they were going. I think of the passage in Matthew chapter 19 in verse 21 and 22, one of many places that's recorded for us where this rich young ruler has come before Him and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And profoundly, as Jesus talks about this with him and tells him to keep the commandments and tells him how he ought to follow after God in that way. And this young man says, "Yes, I know that. I've done those things." Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go and sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." There's his calling to him. And what was his reaction? When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He wasn't expecting Jesus to say something like that. And sometimes that's what we find when we think about Jesus' calling. In John chapter 12, as Jesus talked about how He would draw people to Him, it's not what they expected. It's not what those who were the religious leaders and elders of the day were looking for in a king and a Messiah and a leader. But Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Jesus is calling us to follow after Him through the cross. That's not what they were expecting. That didn't seem what was the way that it should go. But that's how Jesus calls us. He tells us in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 39, as he stirs our thinking about these things, that whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He calls us to live differently. And that's what we want to explore in some of these highlights this morning. There are many ways that we can find that Jesus calls us. We'll just notice a few and keep this bulletin as a guide. It has lots of scripture in it, and we're not going to read every verse of every passage that's there this morning, but I tried to give you the context of the whole story. As you go back and reflect on this and you think, how is Jesus calling me? What does he want from me? Go back and look at these passages and read them and understand the situation that you find there. First and foremost, I think as we get started down this path, we think about the idea that he calls us to trust that his way is best. If Jesus is calling us and we're going to answer that call and we're going to believe him, we have to trust him. And no better place to look towards that than remembering how he called his first apostles. And there in Luke chapter 5, in the first 11 verses, talk about that. They talk about the situation where Jesus was preaching and he was on the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, and he went out into the boat and taught. And notice here in verse 4 where we pick up what has happened. It says, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking, and they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Peter realized something here. He realized that he needed to trust Jesus, that his way was best, that despite what he thought was going to happen, Jesus called him to do something different. And we want to appreciate that as we start down this journey, as we think about our lives today. There are many situations that we will find ourselves in, or many paths that we might decide are the way to go. But understand that if we are going to respond to the Lord as he has asked us to trust that his way is best. I don't understand everything about what Jesus has asked us to do sometimes. Sometimes we talk to our fellow brethren and they say, why baptism? Why is that what Jesus asked of us? Well, I can give some good reasons, but ultimately I need to trust that his way is best. And as we think about that, we understand that he has asked us then to put our faith and to build our faith in him. You turn to Matthew, the 14th chapter, and look at this episode as we think about this idea of trusting that his way is best. He needs us to build faith in him and to trust him in that way. And here we find Peter trying to do just that. In Matthew chapter 14, and beginning in about verse 25, we find this incident where Jesus is walking on water, and the apostles see him. And remember here what happens. It says in verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But the disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Here's Jesus calling them to have faith in what he has said, to trust him. And that call still comes to us today. It goes on, and Peter said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind and was afraid, he began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand, took a hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Think about this for just a moment. Think about where this is in the Gospels and what Peter has already seen of Christ. But Jesus is asking him to trust him. He's calling him to put his faith in him and in his way and in what he says. And brethren, it's hard to do that sometimes when we face the stormy sea of life. When you find yourself in life-changing situations, whether that's in a relationship or whether that's in a career, whether that's with your health, whether that's with your brethren. And sometimes you lose track of where you're headed or where you're going. That's what Peter did. He had his eye focused on Jesus, and he started off in the right direction. Jesus was calling him to come. But what happened? He got distracted. He started looking around, and he began to sink. And Jesus encourages him, build your faith. Look towards me. Why did you doubt? We need to be reminded that Jesus is calling us to trust him. And not only just to do that, but to show that faith to others. When you go to Matthew the 8th chapter and you remember this account of the centurion that has come to Jesus. This centurion showed his faith and Jesus marveled at it. Beginning in verse 8 there, after the centurion had let it be known that he had a servant that he wanted Jesus to heal, and Jesus said he would come, the centurion says this in verse 8, he says, but he replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. And he goes on to give the explanation why he believes that. He talks about the authority that he is under, and he recognizes Christ's authority. In verse 10, it says, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly, I tell you, I have not, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. Jesus calls us to show our faith to him and to others by the things that we do each and every day. I am going to guess, I think with a great deal of accuracy, that tomorrow, on Monday, many of you are going to go back to things that we go back to at the first of the week, whether that's work or school or clubs or neighbors, whatever it is, and probably one of the most asked questions that you are going to hear tomorrow morning is, how's your weekend? What did you guys do this weekend? What are you going to say? Are you going to talk about what you did in the yard? Are you going to talk about some place you went with your family? Are you going to talk about that you injured yourself doing this or that activity? What happened with your parents or your grandparents or your kids? That's usually how we answer that question. There's an opportunity right there, brother, to show your faith. How was your weekend? My weekend was fantastic. I assembled together with the saints, and this is what we did. I was encouraged by this or this. We studied this, and this is a conclusion I came to. I never realized that before. Have you ever thought about that? The centurion showed his faith, and Jesus marveled. Would the Lord marvel at how we are displaying our faith? He calls us to trust that his way is best and to live a life that lives that comes by faith. He calls us to live courageously. Now, if you remember what courage is not the absence of fear, but courage is being able to continue on and do the things that you need to do despite fear. It doesn't mean that you're never afraid, but it means that you will press on through that fear. And Jesus calls us to live that way. Here in Luke chapter 9 is a prime example of that. In Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57, you find this account where different ones talk to Jesus about following him. They're answering the call. What does he say to each one of them? His answer, again, is thought-provoking and stirs us to think about living courageously. In Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57, it says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That's a strange answer, isn't it? But what does he mean? What is he calling us to think about there? Well, Jesus is calling us to understand that if we're going to live courageously, it means that living for him and following after him might mean that we're not focused on the earthly possessions that we have here. That we may not have the security of a home or the security of certain things that we depend upon. I could probably walk out in the parking lot this morning and find some newer cars. Maybe somebody just got a new car. I know some of you in the past year have gotten a new home. Let me ask you this. Have you ever thought about, are you willing to walk away from that thing that you just spent a lot of money on in order to serve God better? Or would you be willing to give it up in service of him? That's what Jesus is talking about when he's calling us to follow him. He's saying, don't let anything stand between me and you. Follow me. But this is what it means. That's courageous living. It doesn't mean you can't live that way. Many of us think, well, how can I live without a house? Or why would I waste my money and give up this thing I just bought? Well, what's Jesus saying here? He's saying, live courageously. Don't let anything stand between you and me. In the next part of the verse, it says, someone says, another to another, he said, follow me. He calls them. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury your own, their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Can you imagine today thinking about someone who has just lost a loved one and them being told, don't worry about the funeral. Let the dead bury their dead. You come and follow me. Jesus is not asking us to be insensitive people. That's not what I think the point is here. The point is, if any earthly relationships are coming between him and you, it's time to follow him. That's the message that he's giving here. It takes courage to live that way because those intimate personal relationships that we have are important to us. They're important to others. And having to explain to other people why we have chosen to do that takes courage. But Jesus calls us to live that way. He tells in the last part of that verse, yet another said, I will follow you, Lord. There's someone answering this call of Jesus. But first let me say farewell to those at home. And Jesus said to him, no one puts his hand to the plow. Who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Does Jesus have a problem with telling people goodbye? I don't think that's the message here. I think the message is, how committed are you? Living courageously means that I'm willing to put anything that's between me and the Lord aside so that I can follow him as he's asked me to do. That's the message that Jesus is calling us to live courageously. He calls us also to relief in the right kind of labor. I phrased it that way on purpose. Look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Look at this passage that we know well and appreciate what Jesus is telling us here as he calls us to relief in the right kind of labor. He says here, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't believe as we read this verse that Jesus is calling us to not work anymore or to give up the efforts that we have put forth, but rather he's calling those who do labor and are heavy laden. He's calling those who have an ethic to do things like that, and he's saying, work in my way. Do things in my way. Follow me, and you will have rest. It doesn't mean that you won't work, but it means that you can have peace in that what you are doing is following the will of the Lord. He says, take my yoke upon you. We've talked about that. And remember, would not you rather pull together with Jesus, be in that yoke together with him, going in the right direction, doing the right things for his purpose, for his glory, responding to him as he has called you, rather than attempting to do things on your own that are frivolous or things that are not productive. So he calls us to that rest. And sometimes we forget to answer that call. Sometimes we do a lot of busy work that's really not what God has asked us to do. Sometimes that makes us feel good. It makes us feel religious. But think about what Jesus is asking of us. He spelled out in many different places, through many different writers, what true religion is or what true discipleship is. We read this morning and studied together in class about being a servant. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But think about what Jesus is calling us to do. It isn't that he's not asking us to give up work. He wants us to be workers. Here in Matthew chapter 20, he gives this parable about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he tells us there in the first part of that, you can read all 15 verses of that and see the whole story, but he says in the first part of it that the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. God is asking us to labor, but to labor for him and with him in the right way. And he talks about agreeing with different ones throughout different parts of the day. Some in the third hour, some in the sixth hour, some in the ninth hour, all of them going out into his vineyard. And that talks about or speaks to all of us in different parts of our life, realizing what it is that Jesus is asking of us and committing ourselves to do those very things. And in the end, in verse 16, he says, am I not allowed to choose with what belongs to me, or do you begrudge my generosity? In other words, he's willing to reward all of those who are willing to work in his kingdom. He calls us to the right kind of labor. He wants us to be workers. He charges us to go. He says there in Matthew chapter 28 that we all know well in verse 18, Jesus came and said to them, all authority on earth, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore. And what does he want us to do? Make you disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and that he would be with us in doing those types of things. So when you think about Jesus is calling us, he's not simply calling us to be here this morning, and that's the end of it. I'm glad that you're here. And he is calling us to be together and to worship together and to honor and to glorify him and to pray together, as we've done in many different ways this morning. But the primary thing that he is calling us to do is to go and to teach. So here we are in August of 2017. At the beginning of the year, we opened our booklets and we talked about what our theme would be, and we talked about different ways that we could interact with one another based on that theme: belonging to the church, responding to the Lord, thriving in this family together, sharing his grace with all. Where are you with that? Have you shared the gospel with someone this year? And if not, the year's not over. Are you ready to go? Just like Jesus is calling you to do. Stop for a moment and think about that. Don't just let that thought pass over you. Have you shared the gospel with someone this year? Respond to the Lord and what he is calling and asking us to do. He tells us that he wants us to live a life of sacrifice. He calls us to that. Here in Matthew, the 10th chapter, we read some verses prior to the one that we noticed at the beginning of the lesson. He says in Matthew 10 and verse 34, these challenging thoughts. He says, Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now that's the opposite of many songs that man has written about Christ coming and bringing peace on earth. What does Jesus say here though? And why does he say that? Appreciate what he's calling us to here. He says, for I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Stop there again for a moment. Think about what the Savior, the great I am, is saying to you this morning. What is he calling you to? I see loving families here this morning. I see new children in families. I see generations of other families. Is God asking us, is Jesus calling us to sever those relationships? To push them aside as though they are worthless? Those of you who have small children on your laps this morning, is he asking you to set them aside and say, I don't love you anymore? No. That's not what he's saying. But appreciate what he's calling us to do and what he's calling us to be. He's calling us to be people that are so committed to him that that relationship with him is first and foremost. And if anything would stand between it, we would recognize that and correct it. He says, whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Jesus is calling us to live a life of sacrifice and be willing to do that. That's going to take courage, and it's going to take effort, and it's going to take labor, those we've talked about so already. And that's why he says, whoever finds his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We're talking about having eternal life. He calls us to live a life of sacrifice. That's hard to do sometimes, because this life that we are in right now inundates us with the idea of standing for our rights instead of living sacrificially. Think about the different ways that he calls us to live a life of sacrifice. He tells us to learn how to forgive. Brethren, that's hard. That is hard sometimes. And he spends a lot of time talking about it. We're not going to read the whole thing this morning, but I encourage you to read it. Matthew 18, beginning in verse 21, where this account starts, it says, Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often will I forgive my brother? Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And you stop for a moment there and just, picture Peter coming to Jesus, asking him this question. We did that this morning with Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. Picture Peter asking this question. I believe Peter's sincere in what he's saying here. He's got a valid point. Jesus has done some teaching, and Peter says, how often am I to forgive him? Seven times? And just imagine that. I've said this before, but it's very real. If I come up to one of you in the morning and I say, I want you to forgive me, I just was gossiping about you and was telling this person what an awful Christian you are. I'm sorry about that. I shouldn't have done that. Would you please forgive me? I think the first time you would say, okay, you might be taken back a little bit. Well, why did you do that? But we get through it. And a couple of hours later, I come to you and I said, you know, I'm sorry. I was just with this other group of Christians and I just did the same thing. Would you forgive me of that? And again, you may say, you know, it seems like you're wrestling with something, but yes, I'll forgive you. Lunchtime, I come back. I mean, is the third time or the fourth time the one where you say, I don't know if you're really sincere about this, Craig? Peter says, will you do that seven times? That's living sacrificially, because it's not easy to do. But Jesus doesn't say, yes, seven times is good. And seven times would be a lot, wouldn't it? But what does he say? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, Jesus is making a point here. He's not specifying an exact number. But can you imagine 490 times somebody coming to you in the same day with the same sin and telling you that they've done it and asking you sincerely to forgive them? How do you do that? You have to be able to learn to live sacrificially. Learn that it's not about you and your rights and what you are trying to stand up for, but it is about Jesus. That's hard to do. But that's what he calls us to do. He calls us to live and to work wisely. When you go to Matthew 25 and you look at this whole passage, we find here the parable of the talents. And again, I encourage you to read through it and find what happens. It says at the beginning of it, for the kingdom of heaven is what he's talking about, will be like a man going to a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. God calls us to be trustworthy, to live sacrificially, and to live wisely. And you read the account of what happened here. He gives one man a lot, he gives another man a few more, or a few less, and he gives one man one. And as you read through the story, what Jesus is trying to teach us there is to live and to work wisely. Don't just take what we've given and put it aside, but do something for God with it. And that means if you're going to live for Him, that you're not going to be able to spend all of your time living for yourself or living in fear. And we see the reward that came to those who worked and lived wisely. That's what Jesus is calling us to do. He's calling us to be a servant. We sing that song sometimes. But at the end of Matthew 25, and you read the last whole part of the chapter, beginning there in verse 31 and on down through verse 46, it talks about those who will find the kingdom of heaven and their eternity with Christ, and those who will be eternally lost. And it says in verse 34, the king will say to those on his right, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? Why did he say that to those ones, and to others he said, depart from me? Well, when you read that passage, you find very clearly it's because they served others. They lived sacrificially in that way. They fed those who were hungry. They helped those who were thirsty, those in prison. They visited. They gave of themselves. And over again, Christ said, when you did that to them, you did it to me. Again, that's an easy thing to read. And it's easy to sit here and to understand that that's what Jesus wants to do, and that we're doing it unto Him. And I know that we do that often. And there are many things that happen here that show that. But is it a sacrifice or is it a happenstance? It's a question to ask yourself. Jesus calls us to live sacrificially and to be those kinds of people. He calls us to be people who are spiritually focused. It's so interesting to me when you read the different things that we find about Christ. There are some that he specifically says, come to me or follow me, and that call is easy to see. But there are so many examples, small ones sometimes, just little things that are put there for a reason. And I think it's to show us different things that Christ wants us to understand. And in this sense, he calls us to be spiritually focused. Here in Luke, the 10th chapter, we find him coming to his friend's house, and they're getting ready to sit down and have a meal, something all of us are going to do a little later today. And notice what he takes the time to say. Beginning in verse 38 of Luke chapter 10, it says, "Now they went on their way. Jesus entered a village. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Then tell her then to help me.'" She recognizes Jesus' authority. But what's Jesus calling her to think about that he calls us to think about today as well? "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things.'" But he goes on to say there is one thing that is important in verse 42, and that Mary has found that thing and that won't be taken from her. Jesus calls us to have a spiritual focus. There are things that we have to do. There are things that I have to do, and I'm going to start some tomorrow and finish some throughout the week. But he calls us to understand and to set aside the time for what is important. What is our focus? He calls us to honor God above everything else. In Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 41, we find Jesus with his dearest disciples in the garden before his crucifixion. And as he deals with the pain of what's about to happen, he deals with the trauma of what is coming, with the sin of the world, and with the physical persecution that is about to befall him, he calls us to honor God's plan above all, not to turn away from that. He says in verse 41, as he withdrew from them a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, that's how he was able to focus on God's plan. He says, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And then we see the angel appear and strengthening him, and we see the agony that he is in as he thinks about this decision. But he calls us, above all things, to honor God's plan. When we read those verses back in Matthew 10, it says that not father or mother should come before us in Christ, and that if we put those things before him, that we're not worthy of him, Christ lived what he said. We talked about that in class this morning. Christ lived what he said. And he asks us to do the same. He asks us to be a people who are different than the world. He asks us to be molded by the things that he has shown us. You turn to the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. He wants us to be different than what we see each and every day. Most of the people that you deal with are not poor in spirit, who are not mourning for their sins. They're not meek or hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Many people are not merciful or pure in heart. And he asks us to be those kinds of people. He calls us to be those kinds of people so that we can obtain the kingdom of God. Would you consider all of those things with me this morning for the sake of his name? Think about responding to the Lord, about how he has demonstrated his desire to lead us and to guide us by all of these things that we've noticed and many, many more throughout the Gospels that we see this morning. The question is, how will you respond? If you've answered the call to become a Christian, that's a wonderful thing, and many of us here have. But how are you living? Are you responding to him in these ways? Jesus calls us to give our very best to him and to put our life on the line for him. Are you willing to do those things? Have you done those things? Can we help you change how you're doing those things? If we can help you into baptism, or if we can pray for you this morning, would you let us know how by coming to the front as together we stand and we sing this song?